This is Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Operation Popcorn is a new documentary film that makes its nationwide debut tonight on PBS stations. It tells the story of a group of Hmong Americans, including the late General Vang Pao, who were arrested in 2007 on charges of attempting to overthrow the communist government of Laos. Filmmaker David Grabius joins us now on the phone. David, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Here in Central California, a lot of people know about the Hmong people and the story of the secret war and how the Hmong refugees came to the U.S. after the conclusion of that CIA campaign. Probably fewer, though, know the story that you tell in this documentary about what happened just about 10 years ago. And certainly nationwide, it's a story that is not all that widely known. How did you come across this story, and what's it all about?
Sure. So I had made a previous film for public television about the Cambodian community, about deportation in the Cambodian community, and had so been working with within the Southeast Asian refugee community, doing outreach about citizenship and some of those issues. And at one of those events, had heard about the arrest of General Vang Pao. Someone came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, these guys just got arrested. It was just hit the news in Sacramento." And that there's really something there. And so I did a little bit of research and went up and was lucky enough to be there for one of the first pretrial hearings held at the federal courthouse in Sacramento, and was just blown away. You know, there were thousands and thousands of people, Hmong people, who had showed up to protest the arrests, and just the incredible energy, the passion, the turnout of this community. Clearly, there was something very powerful, an incredible story there that needed to be documented and told. And so, from there, I reached out to some of the defendants and was given permission from one of the lead defendants, whose name is Lo Chitao in the case, to tell his story. And we started filming there and filmed for about 4 or 5 years after that.
David, your film doesn't just focus on what was happening here in the U.S. and the case against the alleged conspirators, but also looking at some rare footage from Laos itself about those who apparently are still being persecuted there. Tell me about that.
Sure. So obviously, you know, after the secret war ended in 1974, 1975, obviously the conflict continued, and for decades there was a small insurgent guerrilla war that still persisted, you know, between Hmong resistance units and the Lao communist government. That was, you know, for all intents and purposes, was at least permitted to continue by the U.S. government, if not sanctioned. And, you know, so that continued on for decades. And there, you know, in about 2004, 2005, video was smuggled out of Laos by various journalists, showing that there were Hmong people, you know, basically descendants of the soldiers who had fought during the secret war, who were had hid themselves in the jungles in northern Laos and were continuing to be persecuted, continuing to be militarily persecuted by the Lao government. And the video is extremely graphic. There's pictures of women and children, you know, injured, dying, so on and so forth. Very powerful. And again, like I said, this video had been smuggled out by a variety of different journalists who had snuck into Laos over the Thai border. And we were lucky enough to be given access to some of this footage from some of the journalists who obtained it, both Hmong journalists as well as Western journalists. And when that footage hit the community in about 2006, it really made an impact. And you know, I think our film, so much of what interests me and I think is the focus of the film, is this idea of home, you know, this idea of where, you know, where are you from? At the end of the day, you know, for a lot of these people shown in our film, you know, they saw this footage that came out, this footage that documented alleged atrocities, and they were really, you know, it brought back the memories of the war, and it reconnected them to Laos in a way that was very palpable and very passionate, you know, and suddenly their perspective, really focused on Laos and what was happening there in the present day.
Is that what brought General Vang Pao back into the picture in this alleged plot?
Sure. So General Van Cao, you know, obviously he was the head of the community up until his death. And, you know, I think the Lo Cha Tao, who is kind of the lead figure in our film in the documentary, he, you know, reached out and managed, basically was interested in trying to do something, some human rights work, to try and assist these Hmong that were hidden in the jungles of Laos, that were, you know, being shown on these smuggled videos. And older members of the community, including General Vang Pao, were also interested in trying to do something. And so that was kind of the initial contact, was some of the clan leaders in the community reached out to Lo Cha because of his some prior experiences he'd had in politics, to see if he could help them with lobbying efforts and, you know, just reaching out outside of the Hmong community to try and create some publicity, to create some attention for this situation at the time in Laos.
Now, supporters of General Vang Pao and the others who faced prosecution in this case say that essentially they were doing what the U.S. government initially had them doing back in the 1970s, that nothing had really changed in that regard, and why were they being prosecuted for it now? What exactly was at the heart of the case?
So, at the heart of the case was the charges were brought against Lo Cha Tao and several, initially 10 other individuals. And the charges essentially stated that Lo Cha and these others were trying to obtain weapons that are illegal to own, including Stinger missiles and landmines, in an attempt to overthrow a foreign government. So there were basically two kinds of charges. Number one, that they were trying to obtain these weapons through illicit channels, they weren't going through the proper channels, and that these weapons are not weapons that are available to be purchased. And then secondly, you're not allowed as an American citizen to engage in military operations against a foreign country at which the United States is at peace.
So what does this really tell us about the legacy of a conflict that, at least in the history book, says is in the past, for those men at least, and for their community? The war's still very much alive, at least at that point, correct?
For sure. And I think, for a lot of these people, you know, who had grown up and fought in the war in Laos, the war never did really end. You know, they came to the United States, in their 20s and 30s, and faced, you know, on the one hand, a fair amount of survivor's guilt, you know, feeling guilty about the ones that they'd left behind, the people who had died, the people who weren't able to make it. And on the other hand, they came here, at least initially, not with the goal of settling here forever, but with the idea of returning one day to a Laos that would be liberated from a communist government. And that just never happened. And so I think, for decades, for years, General Vang Pao would go, at Hmong New Year, he would go in front of the crowd and he would say, next year in Laos, next year in Laos. And there was this idea of return being a very possible and being the real goal. And I think, with this case, really that's the end of that dream of return. And it is the beginning of a new phase in the history of the Hmong community, and in the perspective of the Hmong community, from a phase where the past is very present and where the past is informing all of the present day decisions, to a phase where really it's trying to understand what Hmong American means and kind of redefining cultural identity within this new context, and I think again this whole idea of home gets brought up and redefined for this next generation of people.
We're talking with filmmaker David Grabius. His film Operation Popcorn receives its national broadcast premiere tonight on PBS stations nationwide. You can also watch it for free online at americareframe.com for 14 days following the broadcast. In producing something like this, you didn't have the opportunity, at least as I understand it, to talk to General Vang Pao. He passed away a few years ago. What was the biggest challenge as far as approaching this as a filmmaker?
Sure. I mean, I think there were a couple challenges. I think trying to convince just mainstream media and funders that this was a story that would capture the attention of a broader audience was a struggle. I think a lot of people, I mean, people, quite frankly, outside of the Central Valley don't know who the Hmong people are, don't understand, you know, their relationship to U.S. history and how important they are in some ways to our culture and to our history. So trying to was really an effort, a struggle to kind of to convince those organizations, like public television, to get behind the project. You know, and I think also, you know, this kind of project, initially I went into it thinking that it would be a fairly straightforward kind of social justice film, you know, the story of a group of people who were misunderstood and hard done by the justice system. But I think, you know, that what I thought was a relatively simple story of injustice turned out to be much more incredibly complex and nuanced. You know, at the center of it was Lo Cha Tao, who turned out to be a very challenging protagonist. He's not an aspirational hero, nor is he, you know, an evil villain. You know, as the lead actor in this drama, his motives are not always clear, and his past actions, his history before he got involved in this case, you know, lead a lot of people in the community to distrust him and even dislike him. So making a film with this kind of character who is not not an easily vilified or empathized character, I think is very difficult, you know, and was a challenge. But I think we ended up succeeding with that. And then finally, you know, as you pointed out, I mean, I think with this kind of film, there's a lot of issues with access. You know, when we started filming, the case was an active case, and these defendants faced life in prison. And so a lot of them, you know, for legitimate legal reasons, were afraid to go on camera and speak with us. In addition, we weren't allowed to film inside the courtroom, as it was a federal case. And so it wasn't until we obtained copies of the ATF surveillance recordings that it really became clear that we could tell the story of this alleged plot in a really compelling and entertaining and visual way. You know, and then obviously the film is in much big parts of the film are in Hmong, so dealing with the translations and kind of understanding culturally what people are talking about, the context of conversations, took a lot of time and effort and the help of a lot of people. So there were for sure a lot of challenges in the film.
The film is called Operation Popcorn. It comes to us from America Reframed, Public Media's newest Emmy-nominated documentary series, a collaboration between WGBH and American Documentary, producer of the acclaimed POV series on PBS. It receives its nationwide broadcast premiere tonight. Check your local listings on public television. And it's also available free online for the next 14 days for streaming online at AmericaReframed.com. Filmmaker David Grabius joining us today. David, thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'm really excited. It's been a real passion project, so I'm so excited to be able to share it with everyone.